The title of the message today is Motivated by Love. Motivated by Love. God's love is the greatest motivator in life, especially if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater motivator than God's love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, "Let all that you do be done with love." That's the drive behind everything that we do is the love of God. And in the Christian life and in life in general, there are good motivators and there are bad motivators in life. So what I thought I would do, if it's okay with you, is I would like to go over the bad motivators to contrast the good motivators. And these five motivators that I'm going to go over today, these five bad motivators, stay clear of them in your life. Because if your life is motivated by any of these motivators, then we need a heart change, okay? So the first one is that I want to talk about today of a bad motivator is fame. Fame is a bad motivator because it seeks to glorify self instead of glorifying God. Do you know that Jesus was never motivated by fame? Jesus was never motivated by fame. In fact, if you remember, Jesus told people, "Don't tell anybody what I'm doing today. Don't tell them about the miracles," because he didn't want it to escalate. He had a time frame with his father, and he went the opposite direction as far as fame went. And he said, "Don't tell anybody," because that was not his motivating factor. John 7:18 says, "He who speaks from himself," Jesus said, "seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him," that's the Father, "is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." He wasn't seeking his own glory. He was seeking the glory and to glorify our Father in heaven. The Bible does say that Jesus became famous. It does say that. Mark 1:28 says, "And immediately Jesus' fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee." But again, fame was not his motivation. And if you look at John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down," here's what Jesus was motivated by, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent him." So his focus, his motivation was one thing, and that was to do the will of Father God. There was no other motive, just to do the will of his heavenly Father. And so much of our American culture is in the pursuit of fame, but it's a bad motivator. And really, if you look at it, if you think about it, it can never satisfy. It only brings emptiness. So I remember back when I was a children's pastor at the Church on the Way, they had a lot of people in the entertainment industry that went to Church on the Way. I got to meet a lot of people that were movie stars and things like that that went to, or musicians that were in the music industry that I pastored their kids. And one of them was Stephen Tavani. Stephen and Linda Tavani. Linda Tavani was Peaches in Peaches and Herb. Remember Peaches and Peaches and Herb? Okay, both of them are sold-out believers, and they have a ministry called Wow Jams where they go out to parks in downtown Los Angeles and across the nation, and thousands of people, gang members, thousands of people have given their life. I watched them. I served in those. Jaylena and I served in those ministries and saw the most hardened gang members lifting up their hands, tears streaming down their face as they're giving their life, thousands of them giving their life to Jesus. I'll never forget that Stephen Tavani, he's a music producer, he said, we were never designed by God to receive glory to ourselves or fame to ourselves. We cannot handle it. We were not designed for that. God can handle it. When we worship him and praise him, he can handle that, and he deposits back into our life when we're worshiping him. He's giving. He's constantly giving. But he said man can't handle that. And so he said if a person that's in the entertainment industry or they're a musician, if they receive the glory to themselves and they just keep receiving it and they never bring it up and glorify God, he said they will implode because we can't handle that kind of glory. And so that's why you see people in who become famous. That's why you see them all of a sudden they'll get into drugs and they'll get into all kinds of messes in their life because they can't handle that kind of pressure. But all along, the motivator was fame. Right? Right? Are you with me now? The motivator was fame, and emptiness was the result. So fame is a bad motivator. And in our culture, in our American culture, so much of us has to rid ourselves of that whole idea and that mindset. Well, maybe one day I'll become famous and preach to the crowds, or I'll sing to the masses, or I'll become a famous actor or actress. And I've had friends pursue that were really good, and it flopped. And because it's a very small percent that ever happens to, and yet people spend their whole life living for that. And it comes up with emptiness. So fame is a bad motivator. The second one, bad motivator, is fear. Fear is a bad motivator. I'm talking about ungodly fear. Worry, fear, doubt causes people to do a whole lot of dumb things. And we've all done them, haven't we? Amen. Be honest now. We've all done them. Out of fear. We've done things out of fear. I was afraid, so I borrowed. Mm-hmm. I was afraid, so I took matters into my own hands. You know, God wasn't coming through at the right time, so I had to take up the thing for myself. And then a mess. Then it's just one mess, one big mess. Ask Abraham. God gave him a promise. He said, you have a son coming, a son of promise. They got into their 80s and 100 and 90 and 100. And Abraham and Sarah were like, it's not happening. God's not coming through, so we better help him out. And they jumped the gun, and they did not receive God's promise, but it came. It came. And so the fear, well, look at 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, doesn't it? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's why bad choices happen, is because the love of God hasn't saturated our lives to the point that we understand that, man, God really does love me. He's watching out for me. He will provide for me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I can rest in his love, and that perfect love casts out fear. If we live in that, we're doing really good. If we don't, then fear is tormenting, and it causes bad behaviors. One of those bad behaviors I heard about when I was making deliveries in my early 20s for a graphics place. I would go to different print shops and deliver camera-ready art. And it was called Crown Graphics there in Pasadena. And I'll never forget one of the workers there said, he's all, Robert, I need to tell you this story. I was at a department store, and on the subject of fear, he said, I was at a department store, and I think it was about three or four stories up, and there was curtains in the room, and he said, all of a sudden, one of the curtains caught on fire in the department store. And he said, I have never seen people act in fear, like they did when that curtain caught on fire. He said people were rushing. They were pushing people down. They were pushing people over to try to get out. So they were motivated by fear, and in that motivation, they didn't care about anybody else. And a lot of times, I think fear can do that. You know, Jesus said, here's the contrast. Jesus said, a greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. But when push comes to shove, and when it comes down to giving your life, especially when it comes to a fire, man, reality sets in. It's like, man, am I going to do this? Am I going to give in to fear and not care about other people? Or am I going to lay down my life and help others in the midst of... And we've seen the hero stories of people that lay down their life in the midst of bad situations. So fear is a bad motivator, ungodly fear. And then the third one is the love of money is a bad motivator. The love of money is a bad motivator because the Bible says it is the root of all evil. 6:9-12 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drowned men in destruction and perdition. Wow. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Those are things we need to be pursuing. Those are our motivators. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. And being blessed, you can even give and help other people. But as the saying goes, there's nothing wrong with having things as long as they don't have you, right? And money is a horrible motivator. People will go into get-rich-quick schemes and all in the pursuit, all in the motivation of money. But don't let that be your motivation in life. And then the fourth one, fourth bad motivator is hatred, jealousy, unforgiveness, and overcompetitiveness. I just kind of grouped all those together because they kind of all go together. Hatred, jealousy, unforgiveness, and overcompetitiveness. You know, I'm really upset with so-and-so, so I'm going to spend my whole life trying to get back at them. That's a bad motivator in life. You know, Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, you've already committed murder. Whoa. Jesus said, don't let that be in your heart. Jealousy or envy, those kind of go hand in hand. Wanting what some, I'm going to just spend my whole life trying to get, you know, in covetousness and jealousy and envy. I'm going to try my whole life to get what the other person has. And it's a bad motivator. Overcompetitiveness. I don't think there's anything wrong with competitiveness, but when it becomes your motivator in life, it's a bad motivator because you're always trying to be one ahead of somebody else. And that is your motivation. And what a horrible motivation in life. The Bible says to put others in front of you. The Bible says to love others, and you want your brothers and your sisters in Christ to do good in their life, to prosper and be blessed. But if you're always trying to get ahead of them, it always comes up empty. When I was in my 30s, we would go on I had three friends. We were all single, and we were praying for the right one. And so we would do things like we'd go on bike. We'd go down to the beach, Santa Monica. We'd ride our bikes. And my friend Justin and I always noticed that Ken always had to be ahead of all of us when we were riding bikes. He always had to, and we love the guy. He's a great guy. But I leaned over, we're riding, and I said, "Hey, Justin, watch this. Every time I try, I'm not going to tell him, but I'm going to try to go faster than him. Watch." And so he goes, "Are you serious?" He goes, "I didn't even realize that was happening." He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Watch this." So I went up. I was riding next to Ken, and then I kept speeding up faster and faster. And Ken just like, faster, faster, faster. Like, I'm totally calm. And I'm going, you know, as fast as I can like this. And Justin is just way back there laughing, you know. But he did not want somebody to get ahead of him. And I think sometimes it's that way in life, too. We don't want somebody else to get ahead, so we've got to do all these things, and we spend all this time trying to compete. And God was just like, "Would you just let that go and live your life before me and glorify me with your life and do the will of your Father and let the motivation in your heart be to win souls and not try to get ahead of your brothers and sisters in Christ or anybody for that matter." Amen? Amen. Amen. Mark 11, 25 through 26 says, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." So we have to let things go when it comes to other people. If they hurt you, if they wronged you, don't carry the chains of that and don't walk through life in motivation and pursuit of getting back at them, because you'll spend your whole life wasting your life instead of doing what God wants you to do, and that is to forgive, let it go, and move on with your life and be successful in your life and be free in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then the fifth one is power, bad motivator, power, lust, greed, and selfishness. I grouped all those together. Although I think selfishness is like the underlying thing in all of these. It's about me, myself, and I. I could care less about you. In fact, I will walk all over you to get what I want. That's called selfishness, and that's the devil in a nutshell right there. That's the devil right there. Abraham Lincoln said on the subject of power, he said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." Ooh. You want to test a man's character, give him power. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Let me say that one more time. Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I think that's why the healthy body of Christ, when it's operating how it should, is wonderful, because we're in unity, we're moving forward in the presence of God, we love each other, we don't have selfish ambition, we are encourage each other, we're cheering each other on, and in that cheering, you have the presence of God moving and the love of God moving and the church doing what it's supposed to do and reaching the world. But if you have selfish ambition inside the church, then you have, it says it right here, you have disorder and you have evil happening in a church. And let it not be here in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:22 on the subject of lust says, "Flee also youthful lusts. Flee, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So power, lust, greed, and selfishness. By the way, if you are a single person in the house, and you start dating somebody, you're starting getting to know somebody, and they have any of these bad motivators that I just mentioned, any of them, these five. If you notice that any one out of these five, or maybe you notice a two or three, or maybe all of them, I have one word for you, okay? I have one word for you. Run! Run! Get out of there. Get out of that relationship. How many people have dated the wrong person who is motivated out of selfishness and anyone? Oh, the hands are going up. We have a revival happening, folks. We have a revival. I see that hand. I see that hand. Oh, the years, the pain, the suffering, all because maybe the motivation was, I'm lonely, I need somebody. And then they came along, and oh, they looked so beautiful. They looked so glorious. And underneath it all was the devil incarnate. My wife will actually say that about one of her, actually it was the person, well, I won't go into much detail, but she said, one of the persons she was dating, she said, I was literally dating the devil. And she said, I didn't know it at the beginning, but then I discovered it was absolutely horrible. Absolutely. And the good thing about it is, when she sees it in other ladies, she's able to point it out to them and be an outsider kind of and say, hey, just want to let you know I've been there and run, you know. I know it can be hard because, man, I mean, you got the blinders on, the love blinders, and it isn't until the breakup and you get about a month out of it, maybe even sooner than that, and you go, oh my goodness, Jesus, you saved my life. You saved my life from that. That would have been a mess. And some of us got into the mess, and some of it's for years. But run. Run. If you take all of these bad motivators and you look at the opposite of them, you'll find some really great godly motivators. For example, instead of fame, you're motivated by glorifying God in your life. Instead of fear, you're motivated by faith and believing God for miracles and see Him moving in your world. And you're not motivated by fear or what's going to happen next or what if and how will I be provided for. That's not your motivation. Your motivation is faith. God, I believe in you. God, I believe you're going to come through. Hallelujah. I don't know how. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to put you first. I'm going to put you first in my giving, and I trust in you. I was just telling somebody the other day, I had somebody come to me. We did tithes and offerings, and this single mom met me out in the parking lot, and she said, Pastor, you said that if we gave our tithe and we put God first in our tithes and offerings, that He would come through and He would bless us. Is that true? And she's got tears streaming down her face right out here in the parking lot. And I said, yeah, it's true. And she said, okay, because if I give my tithe check, if I go write it right now and put it in the offering, I will not have enough for rent tomorrow, and I have two kids. And I said, confidently, I said to her, yes, God will come through if you put Him first. And inside, I'm going, oh, Jesus, please help. Oh, Lord. Lord, if I ever needed you, it's right now, Lord. But outside, I'm going, yes, He's going to come through for you. Oh, man. I think I probably even went into my office, got on my knees, and said, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, help, Lord. Pace the floor. Oh, Jesus. Come through. The next day, I got a phone call from her. She said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. In the mailbox was a check, and it was more than what I needed for the rent and even more than enough. Amen. Amen. Instead of fear, we're motivated by faith and believing God for miracles. Instead of loving money, you are motivated by giving and blessing others. Instead of gaining power and lust and greed and selfishness, you are motivated by love, the love of God. Instead of hatred, you're motivated by God's love. And we take all these things and we say, God, I don't want them in my life. They've been motivators in the past, but I don't want them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, run from these things and don't let them be. Don't mix them with the things of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Love is the greatest motivator. In our growth track class, actually, we're going to be actually dealing today with spiritual gifts and motivational gifts. In other words, God has, did you know this, that in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each of them has distinct gifts that they give to believers. The Father, who is the Creator, gives us motivational gifts because He designed you, when He created you, He designed you to be motivated by certain things. Like a mechanic is designed and motivated by turning a wrench. He or she gets excited about cars and learns everything about them, learns how to solve problems with cars, and we thank God for that. A surgeon is motivated and happy about cutting people open and either taking things out of them or putting something back in or fixing something, and they are motivated by that. I can't even picture that, but I'm so thankful for them. God has designed each of us with the Father with motivational gifts. And then the Son brings to the church, He is the head of the church, Jesus brings us ministry gifts. He assigns roles in those ministry gifts. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, they're gifted with those certain ministry gifts. And then we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are for the purpose of building up the church. And the Holy Spirit will give gifts, even in a service, as we are praying for each other. God may give you something, a word of encouragement or a gift, healing or faith for somebody. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so these motivational gifts from the Father are a worthy pursuit to find out how God has made you, how He has designed you. Because once you understand what motivates you in your design, in your talents, your gifts, your abilities, and the way that God has made you, then you're doing the things that you like to do. You're motivated by those things because God has designed those things in you. And same with ministry. When you're ministering the life of Jesus, wherever you go, He's equipped you with certain gifts and roles in order to minister to somebody in those gifts. And so it's so important for us to discover what those gifts are, and because they are great motivators. Don't be doing things that you're not motivated by, you know. And sometimes I get it, we have to because it's serving, or we have to change a dirty diaper or whatever it is at home. You know, you got to do what you got to do, and those things of serving and work. But at the same time, you want to be doing the things that God has designed you to do. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, as I wrap this up, somebody might be thinking, you know, it'd be really great if, you know, in these five bad motivators, it'd be really great if the world could just switch out of these bad motivators and start being nice to each other. And then the whole world would just be a much better place if we'd all just lay down our bad motivators and just get along. Just get along, everyone. And I want to tell you something. Here it comes. Here it comes. That ain't never going to happen. You know why it's not going to happen? Because you can't change the motivation of your heart without being born again. You can't change your heart and your motivation without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior to come inside of you, to transform your heart, to take you out of darkness. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. They need to be changed. They need to be transformed. I mean, even to the point of like a butterfly that's a caterpillar and he's molded down and becomes a glob of goo inside of that cocoon or whatever you call it, and then they are completely remade into a butterfly. That's the kind of born again that I'm talking about. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not the old you anymore. It is a born again divine nature you that has all new motivations. Clean heart, purified heart. Oh God, I just want to serve you now. Oh God, I just want to love you now. I just want to glorify you. That's what I'm talking about. But until you come to the cross, until you give your life to Jesus, don't try to change any of this. Because you're just going to be changing the outside and no transformation on the inside. So the first thing you've got to do is give your life to Jesus Christ.